There we go. Well, good morning again, Faith Fellowship. Today we have our upper room service, which if you're new with us, upper room is just simply our time of communion. It's the time we come together once a month to remember Christ, to remember what he has done for us, to take part in the breaking of the bread and the cup for our salvation. It is normally during these upper rooms that I guess because I am the youth pastor that I get to entertain the children on stage. And I'm looking to see if what I know I have written and what I can get done with the kids can get done in time. And I am not sure. So I'll leave it to you guys. Do you guys want me to have the fun with the kids on stage? All right. We're going to do it quick. Seth's got a lot to cover. He's in grad school now. He can preach longer. No. All right. Come on up, kids, and we're going to do something real fun for you guys. And it will be quite entertaining for us to see. See, what I like to do, I had the kids come on stage because if you'll notice, one thing we do is the pre-K go back, but we have the first through fifth graders stay in here. And the reason we do that is because we want them to take part in communion. We want them to understand what communion is and why it is important. We have great Sunday school teachers back there that teach them great things. But there's nothing more important than having them sitting here, hearing the word of God, and understanding what this is as we remember Jesus Christ. So here we are, and you guys feeling pretty good because you're about to get some exercise. All right. I need you guys to get a line and give me a line across here. Give me a line. Let's see if you guys listen better than the high school basketball players. A little bit you do. All right. Spread out. You're going to want space, so spread out like an arm width apart. If you're doing this and touching somebody, you're too close. Scoot. Oh, good. Oh, and watch out for there's holes in the stage. Watch out, too. Step up a little bit. We only got so much insurance. All right. So, here we go. I'm not going to say what you want. 10, or we'll do, I want 15 jumping jacks. Ready, go! Count them out, this crowd. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All right, give me a lap. Now, I'll paraphrase. The last time we ran a lap, we had some of the people of grayer per lifestyle of hair, and it was Lee, and if you remember Lee, he has now retired and gone down to Myrtle Beach, but he had to go in and get a heart stint in after running around church. It was the most terrifying thing in the world. We had this big Olympic thing. We found out he could have literally passed out and died doing it. So you guys are in much better shape. All right. So I want one lap around a church. Ready? Go. Running. Go. All right, come on back up. All right, I want you down. Now I want you guys to sit. I want 10 sit-ups. There you go, 1. Don't worry, after this, you can eat all you want today. All right, everybody stand up here. All right. So here's my thing. Was that enjoyable?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. He said yes. All right. For most of you, was that enjoyable? Did you like working out? Did you like doing sit-ups? Did you like doing jumping jacks? No, but if you do that long enough, good things happen, right? So if you suffer through it, eventually you get more in shape, right? Isn't that the point of exercising? So I'm told. All right. Heck, great job, kid. You guys can go have a seat. And see, we're going to look at a little bit of suffering. I'm going to share a little bit of story with myself with sports. But for the past 2 weeks, actually for the past, if we go back further than that, for the past 2 years, we've been working our way through the Bible. The best part is now these kids are exhausted. Now they can sit through my message because they won't be all jittery for their parents. All right. So we've been working for the past 2 years, going from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And now we find ourselves in the book of 2 Thessalonians. Before that, we spent 2 weeks in the book of... You guys are pretty good. You guys are quick. All right, and now we find ourselves here. And we're going to look at some similar themes as Bill shared last week about the great hope that we have as believers. That as we go through trials, as we go through suffering of this world, we look to the return of Christ to find our hope. Anybody out here like suffering? Okay, I didn't think I would get a hand on that. Yeah, but see, sometimes there's always good that can sometimes come through suffering. And this is what I want to share. I had a similar exercise. Well, it's not really exercising, but it involves running when I was in high school. I was a freshman up at Perry Hall, and I was asked by the gym teacher to go and join the track team. Apparently, my great athletic abilities had somehow inspired him to ask me to be on the track team. I said, sure. And if you know me, you'll find out where the story is going very quickly if you already have heard this. So I go to the first day of track practice, and to my amazement, the only thing that they do is run. So let's just say I stuck it out for maybe a week or so, and I decided this was just not for me. I don't know what I thought track involved or what it was, but I realized it was great suffering upon me to take part in this running activity. The ironic thing now is that as I now coach at Perry Hall with the basketball team, the best thing I like to do for the guys is make them run. One, because a coach, I can just watch them. All right, but that's how this all works out. But I have a purpose behind that. As we have them run, there is a greater goal that comes. We want them to be better come game time. We want them to pursue and get through the hard aspects of that practice so that when the rubber meets the road in the game, they are prepared to live out what they've been practicing. And we're going to look at how God was testing and growing this church that we look at. Before we get there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this book. We thank you for the words of it. We thank you for the guidance that it gives to our lives. And Lord, as now as we turn to this book and think about what this church was going through, Lord, we just ask your blessings as we look at how this applies to our lives today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking at 2 Thessalonians, really looking at verses 3 through 12. So we're going to be going through the scriptures with that. So as Paul is beginning here, he opens with this phrase. He says, we ought always give thanks to God for you. So as he is reflecting on this church, he is remembering and having great praise about this church. It brings great thankfulness to him when he considers this church. And he goes on to express why. He says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love you have for one another is increasing. So here we have him laying out two reasons for this thankfulness that he has for this church. The first thing he says is that their faith was growing. You see, as I already mentioned, this is written a short time after Paul had already visited them, but apparently there had been some hard times, some persecutions coming into this church. But Paul says, look, your faith is growing. You see, as we look at Ephesians 6, we're told that as we are battling the spiritual warfare around us, that we have a shield of faith that protects us. And as I was reading about this, I was also reading a book called The Bondage Breaker. And if you've read this book, it is all about the spiritual warfare that we face around us, of the unseen things that are around us and the arrows and the temptations that Satan brings into our lives. And you see, this shield of faith plays an important role in our struggles. And this is what the author, Neil Anderson, said about this. He said, the object of our faith is God and His Word. The more you know about them, the more faith you will have. The less you know, the smaller your shield will be. It will be easier for one of those fiery darts of Satan to reach its target. If you want your shield of faith to grow, large and protective, your knowledge of God and His Word must increase. So what he is saying here is our shield, per se, can get bigger or it can stay small as we grow in our faith. And how about that? Have you noticed that as you mature in your faith, you can handle life struggles easier? You have a better perspective on it. Or if our faith is small, our shield is small, we tend to doubt. We tend to struggle. We tend to look on things differently than if we had a growing faith. These are the things that we go through. And Paul is reminding them, he's saying, look, it is your faith that is helping you get through these things you are facing. So in words, he is saying, your shield is growing. It's interesting that it's not saying that the shield will stop the attacks. It's just a defense mechanism against the attacks that are coming at us in our lives. So as we look at our lives, the question becomes, are we growing in our faith? Is our shield growing bigger so that when Satan brings his attacks, we can withstand them? Satan likes to bring all various things into our lives. But as it said, if we root ourselves in God's word and in the words that He has given to us, our faith will be strong, and that we can stand up against any attack that the devil will bring to us. But that's not all that we see here in this passage. Next, we see that their love was growing for one another. You see, they needed each other during these hard times. They needed the encouragement, the blessings, the love that they had for each other. See, when we're thinking about love, we're not thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about the other people God has placed in our lives. And this is what John says in 1 John 4:7. He says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Or how about Paul in 1 Corinthians 16? He says, be on guard, stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. We can stand strong in our faith. We can stand strong in the love of our brothers and sisters that surround us in those moments of persecutions, of suffering, and of trials. Paul is saying, I reflect on these things and I am thankful for who you are as a church. Paul continues on in verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians. He says, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance in faith. He says, when I reflect and when I think about you guys, I boast about who you are as a church, about the things that you are going through and the faith that you have. He continues and he says, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that you are enduring. He says, we don't really know what they're facing. We aren't sure what the persecution was, but it was enough that Paul needed to send them a letter of encouragement and say, keep on in the faith. See, this is a real thing, and it's hard for us to kind of think about this topic of persecution. Because us today, we don't really face what they faced back then. And as I was reflecting and thinking about this and thinking about the persecutions that our brothers and sisters face around the world, I came across some great resources that help us understand what's going on in the world around us. And some websites such as opendoorusa.org or a website called Voice of the Martyrs, which is persecution.com. And some of the things that they reflect about, I was reading through their webpages. Some of the statistics that they give about the persecution around the world. And this is what they say. They say about 345 believers a month lose their lives. They go on to say about 105 churches or Christian buildings are burned or attacked every month. About 219 Christians are detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned every month. It's hard for us to understand, being in the country that we live in, the great freedoms that we have. And I'm going to talk a little bit about maybe some of the persecutions that we face, but I think we use that wrong word a little too strong in our country, because we really don't face those things. We aren't worried about being killed by coming to church on a Sunday, where people in China, as they gather secretly in house churches, can literally have their government come in, arrest them, and take them away. But we need to pray for these brothers and sisters. And as Paul reflects on what this church was facing, he says, but you know what? Your faith is growing, and your love is keeping you strong. And like I said, this is a hard topic to relate to in our world today. But the best thing that I can come up with, especially as I'm in the public schools, is kind of our kids in schools. And you know, our kids in school are going to be taught things that are against Scripture. And you know, it's a hard thing as a parent to explain to them that, you know what, as we deal with the issues in the world today of marriage and gender, that they're going to be taught things that go against what God's Word says. And it's hard to tell your kids that, you know what, people might not like you when you stand up for the truth. Our kids are young and in elementary school, but we have both had serious talks with them about these subjects. We have handled them in a way which brings about love, and to say, look, this is what Scripture says on these topics. And we say, look, you're going to have friends that don't agree with you. And I'm not blinded by the fact that there are going to be people in this room that even don't agree on those things. But you see, as we look to God's Word, we need to handle it with respect and love and truth. And we want to teach our kids to say, you know what? Not what my mommy and daddy say, but this is what God says on these topics. And if things happen to them, if they lose friends and we have to say, you know what, then we will stand with truth. When I am alone, give me Jesus. And like I said, it is hard to bring that, and it's hard to equate that to the same thing of persecution. But the reality is, if this is God's Word, then this is truth. And if it is true, then we don't get to pick and choose what it says. In John 15, Jesus says this. He says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. This idea of that we come to Jesus, we get blessings, we get goodness, we get riches, is not true as we look to Scripture. If anything, we see that life gets harder when we stand for the truth. But the apostles had a very interesting reaction to this idea of suffering and persecution. And in Acts 5 and verse 41, it says the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They were called in and arrested. But they were like, yes! We're like, what? They considered themselves worthy to be praised to suffer. And as we stand for the truth, we need to be ready to have people turn their backs on us. But we know that as we stand in truth, God is beside us. And he is saying, I thank God for your faith. I thank God for your love. He goes on and he continues from verses 5 to 10, and he's going to talk here about God being just. And I'm not going to read this whole section for us, but it says here, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. He says, look, there is a day that is coming when God will judge this world. And I found a great quote here as we look at God being just. And it comes from Charles Ryrie. And he says this. He says, this idea of God being just and giving out payment for sin for those who are sinners. He says this. He says, there is a great comfort for those who have been wronged. Or a great warning to those who think they have been getting away with evil. You see, as we look at that second coming of Christ that Bill talked about last week, there is a great hope for us as believers. Because our sin has been paid. God justifies us through the death of Christ on that cross. The unfortunate thing is for those who have not accepted Christ, there is still punishment to come for them. And it says there, if you look at those verses, it is very dramatic. It says an eternal destruction. In the ESV, it even talks about God's vengeance being laid out on those who do not know Christ. But he says, for you who believe, there is hope. He says, there is hope as your faith grows and as your love grows, that we have Jesus Christ who died for our sins. And as the ushers come forward to remember this time, we're going to take a time and remember the sacrifice of Christ. For it is his body which was broken for us. It is his blood that was spilled on that cross. The reality is that everybody in this room is a sinner. Everybody in this room has either lied, stolen, thought poorly about somebody else. And Scripture tells us that you are a sinner. But we have that hope in Jesus Christ. And here at Faith Fellowship Church, we ask that if you partake in communion, that you would just be a believer. You don't have to be a member of our church. We just ask that you are a member of the large church, the one that professes Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And if you haven't done that, we would ask that you would find somebody, talk to myself, talk to somebody that you saw on the worship team, and find out what it means to have the hope of Jesus Christ. Because it is through those sufferings that hope comes. As those kids run around, if they keep running more and more and more, they're going to get stronger. The more my basketball team runs, the stronger they get. The more faith we have, the more we lean on Christ, the stronger we are in life. And then Paul will say, I thank God when I think about your strong faith. Let's remember Christ and the sacrifice.